Well, good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you choose to listen to this show that we like to call
Considering Some Things.
Wow, that was stereo. That was the best we've ever done that.
It's probably the best we've ever done that. I think that was the best opening we ever had. Can we cut right there?
And that's it. We're done. Good night, everybody. Sorry, we didn't have time for camera today. Thank you.
Show's over. That's the end of it.
That's a show.
It's been a long... here's the thing. We are experimenting this evening.
We are.
And it's the kind of experiment that... as we record this right now, it is January 26th.
Correct.
I've got 6:39 p.m. Does that sound about right to you?
That sounds perfect.
So it's going. This episode is about 6 hours, a little 5.5 hours from being released. It's going to be. We're going to record and we're going to produce and send it right on out. And that is not because we don't have an episode already in the can ready to go. It's that the episode that we have in the can that's ready to go, it blows.
It sucked ass. I mean, I'm sorry for cussing. It was a terrible show. So we got really experimentative, and I really thought it was a good idea. And then we recorded it, and we're like, that was terrible.
Just listening back to it, it was painful. I've been in radio, I'd done radio a lot when I was a kid, and I got used to, and I'm still not quite powerfully used to, but I got used to listening to my voice.
Right.
I listened to that, and I felt like I was 16 again, going, wait, who the heck is that? What was that? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Do those guys think they're funny? Oh, wait, that's me and Keith.
we were the worst impression of the morning zoo. It was wacky DJ.
I thought the morning zoo was like aesthetics and art compared to what we produced.
Yeah, it was a really bad attempt. It was almost unspoken.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Another show, so we canned it. Although it might be fun to put it out there, is like, don't listen to this episode just because that'd be funny. But you know, certainly, I'm excited. Go ahead.
Why are you excited?
Well, because this will be our 50th.
See, that's the thing. This is our 50th show.
Yeah.
And this is exciting for me because that means that Keith has been with us now for, he's been with Jason and me and Matt for, we're 20 shows now, my man.
Yeah. Yeah. Not
thought
bad.
Would scare you away.
Well, I thought I was going to take it over, and I'm realizing, like, no, I don't want to do this.
Well, you know, we had Jason on, and Jason and you had this bonding moment. I think you asked him to hold you on no less than 3 occasions.
Well, he was talking barbecue, man, and
that
was my heart, barbecue. So, yeah, no, great times, and this has been a lot of fun for me, with no doubt. And we tried to do something fun and wacky, but this is going to be an even. But this is even going to be a better show in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
Because our guest is an amazing individual. Jesus Christ, it's amazing.
You can't even, you know what? You were on the right track. You were doing just fine. Everything was working and flowing, and you go and just do that.
You're not going to let me announce it.
Would you just...
I'm trying to deal with it. It's like totally sexy.
You are still, we still have job evaluation to do.
Oh, that's going to be the next show.
That'll be the next show is your job eval. And if this right here is going in. So keep that in mind.
Good point.
Yeah.
We do have an amazing guy. I've been honored to know Mr. Cameron Clapp for quite a while. I have a lot. We've known each other for a while now, bud. So, a decade maybe? Cameron, would you say? How long have we known each other?
Well, hey, I'm asking there.
You, I'm asking
Hello,
you to do math.
Keith and hey, Arkansas.
Hiya, Cameron. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you for bringing me on board.
It's great. I've known this guy.
To be here. Thanks, Mark. It's great
absolutely.
To meet you here on the platform. You too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good to talk to you again, Keith.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you. So I've known Cameron for quite a while. Mostly
a decade, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's been about a decade. Yeah. So Cameron is sort of a superstar in a lot of ways. He is an athlete. He's actually done some professional acting, and he is a triple amputee. Has overcome that. He's the only person I know that got hit by a train. I don't know anybody else that's actually been hit by a train and survived to tell the tale. Mm-hmm. So welcome aboard. How you doing, Cameron?
Well, you know, I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for asking.
Every day that you don't get hit by a train is probably a wonderful day.
Yeah, you know, it's really, thanks for building me up. I really feel no pressure here on the 50th episode. And
if you blow it, I swear to God.
Come on, Cameron.
I love you, Keith, just to start us off. And
here we go. He's already going to love. What are you, a golden retriever?
And Mark, I have a lot of respect for you, even though we haven't met, you know, especially
I was
gonna
say,
because your long time in the field of radio and your
voice. God, listen, of all the things, listen, of all the things to have respect for, I am not the one. So just keep that in mind. All right. I have more respect for like dachshunds, hairy, long-haired dachshunds than I have.
this is how amazing Cameron is, because I told him you're not a man to respect, but try anyway.
Bravo, thank you. Well
just
said.
Giving that 100%. You know, I respect you, and I know you're giggling about that as you said, "I respect you," and you're. But thanks for letting, you know, making Mark feel important. He needs that.
Yeah.
Well, all joking aside, Cameron, could you let's start this by, I'd really want to know more about, you are doing a lot of good stuff and you're talking to people and you do a lot of reaching out to folks. Yeah. And I'd love to have you kind of talk about what you do and how you're involved in that.
Yeah. So, you know, as Keith so eloquently described, I, you know, just to kind of take it back a little bit, provide a little bit of context and
right
my background, right?
Absolutely.
So here I am. I'm currently, 30, almost 35 years old. I've lived a long life. I've had, a lot of pivotal moments in time of transition and, you know, really defining moments. I taking it back to when I was 15 years old, you know, this was a life change that, you know, thankfully, and I'm so grateful, because it was a turning point. I got, you know, hit by a train and I, thank God I survived, you know, that was a moment of, really it completely, was, I have to say it was something that, you know, you don't anticipate, you know, getting hit by a train.
Well, I always plan for it, but so far I've,
well,
I'm
one thing
good.
I've learned right out, you know, just to, something I've learned, immediately is, sometimes things don't work out the way you plan, you know?
Yeah, I'll say. So now this was, you were 15. So this is, was 2001, so it was pretty close to when 9/11 happened, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So, describing the event, how did you get hit by a train?
Yeah. So, I was in high school. I was 15 years old. You know, sophomore. I was, you know, popular kid. You know, just a regular, ordinary hooligan.
All right.
And you know, I loved it. I was very active. I was, you know, very, you know, into anything that I was involved in. I felt like, you know, I could excel at anything I, you know, put my mind to.
But so back in those days, what was your favorite thing? Were you surfing or what were you into?
Skateboarding, surfing. Yeah. And, you know, I really got involved in my social life and activities, and that involved a lot of partying, as we know. It's how we, you know, it's kind of how we're programmed as kids and in the high school days. So I had gotten a pretty regular routine of going out with friends and drinking. And, mm-hmm. you know, at a young age like that, you just don't have any limits, you know.
True and that.
So, yeah, there I was. It was 3 days after 9/11. So it was a national, you know, it was a global crisis, you know. And little did I know that the crisis that I would experience in my own personal experience that night, where I had, you know, I lived across the street from railroad tracks, and we had a memorial of with a flag, a spotlight, lots of candles, a shrine.
Oh, very cool.
Set up for the people who, you know, who died, their families were going through a loss. And of course I experienced my own loss that night. So I had come home, from a couple parties, couple keggers. I was way over my tolerance, and I just kind of had wandered over to the train tracks, and I did not see or hear the train coming. I was on foot, crossed the tracks a number of times, probably, you know, a day or, to go to the beach, to go surfing. And that night, you know, I did not cross those tracks, without, getting run over by a train, losing both of my limbs. Or both my legs above the knees and my right arm, pretty high up above the elbow, just below the shoulder. And, those were the those were the consequences that, I would be living with, for the rest of my life.
Wow. But you know, it's amazing. So, I mean, you must have hit those tracks just right, because it obviously didn't squish your head or anything. I mean, it didn't kill you instantly. So it was just limbs, and you've just got to be like, wow, I shouldn't be alive right now. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I think of it as, it was a miracle, you know,
yeah,
absolute mm-hmm. miracle. And mm-hmm. every day that I have, you know, the life in me, is a miracle. And mm-hmm. I'm so grateful, because, my perspective has changed, and I've had so many life learning lessons as a result, not just, you know, my physical changes, but, you know, when I look back on that and I think where the location was, this is just kind of a symbolic perception of what really the meaning of the events that took place that fateful night. The location was in a spot in Grover Beach called the Butterfly Trails.
Oh yeah.
And so, I was right there. And of course, as we know, butterflies, as many animals, have different meaning and represent, you know, various things in different cultures. And the butterfly going through its, you know, caterpillar and then cocoon and chrysalis, you know, kind of transformation, into a new, you know, state and a creature, a new physical embodiment. And so that is what I call it. I call it, you know, that was my metamorphosis.
Wow. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, and it has been a transformation, as I said, not just physically, but
mentally and spiritually too.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and that leads you to, cause I jumped the shark there a bit. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you've used this now as a way to kind of to help people, right? To reach out to them and to say, look, this is there are obstacles you're going to face. They're tremendous obstacles.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, this can obviously be a long conversation, but I'll try to, you know, just summarize, you know, a few things where that were, first of all, you know, going through triple amputation, let alone, it doesn't matter, you know, I think one thing I've learned is age and, you know, condition, like there, you have a number of things that can, that are factors in, and, when you lose a limb, there's a number of factors involved, and, being a multiple limb amputee, you know, that was a big challenge.
Oh, geez.
The reality of having to, you know, go through, you know, recovery and rehabilitation, you know, it was just, it seemed insurmountable. You know, it's unbelievable really to think about, how this all took place and then the, you know, the obstacles ahead, you know, but thankfully, I had a great, you know, team. Well, you know, let me just back up a quick second. The first doctor told me I would never walk again. So,
oh yeah, I bet.
I mean, and you know, I learned a lot from that, because I learned about, you know, self accountability, and I learned about, you know, how, you know, this person who told me, get a good wheelchair, you're never going to walk. I think it served as a lesson to, you know, people that tell you, you can't do something, that if you have a good support system and you have, you know, personal, you know, if you're motivated and you have self-determination, and self-efficacy, that's going to work in your best interest, in your favor.
I want to get in your head a little bit there. So when you're told things like that, because your attitude has always been kind of go-getter, but there had to have been times when you just had to struggle and depression has to kind of kick in, but you're torn. You've had to been torn between, oh my God, I'm still alive. Right. And oh my God, I've lost my legs and my arm. Yeah. I mean, right. So it's like, you know, the thrill of, oh my God, I survived this versus the, oh my God, I'm changed forever. And then you have those two choices. You can either let it kick your ass or you do what you did and say, no, I'm going to defeat this thing. But like when someone says, oh, get a good wheelchair, you're stuck doing this. I mean, was that immediately depressing? You said, screw you kind of thing. Were you immediately, well, right, well, we'll see about that. How were you reacting to that?
Yeah.
Well, I think that there, unbeknownst to me, I'm sure there was some spiritual forces carrying me through that time. I know that I look back on that and I have a hard time remembering a lot of things early on. Because 20 years, just,
right?
Well, first of all, you know, when you're going through a traumatic event, I think we are, you know, naturally, you know, cognitively, and, you know, we probably block a lot of that stuff out.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a self-defense mechanism.
Well, yeah, it's a trauma response, right?
I mean, I mentioned, let me ask you, because I didn't, but I mean, do you even remember the accident or were you out through that?
I don't remember. Thankfully.
Good.
You know, I'm sure my body went into, again, like self, just some kind of
defense mechanism.
Survival mode. And but I think you bring up a great point, because this all has to do with a lot of, you know, I like to say, you know, I can kind of set the stage by saying, you know, the things that happen to us in life, right? The adversities that you know, we encounter, whatever they are, I think that you know, the most important thing is how we respond, because
that's everything. I agree there.
Right. Because I think that it's a catalyst for growth, because this is something that I've learned over time, and I think it has a lot to do with what we're talking about, you know, the emotional and psychological traumas, and you know, and going through those things, you know, we can learn how to, you know, kind of use that sorcerer stone, or they call it the elixir life, and we can then, you know, turn around and use that as a way to give back or to be of service. So, you know, but what it is that, you know, when we're going through challenges, we have hardship, adversity, the point is to, how do we, take those things, you know, how do we face those challenges and grow? You know, because I could have easily given up, you know?
Yeah.
I could have easily given up, but thankfully, you know, early on, I had a great, you know, support system that, you know, as I continued, they took me under their wing. I listened to them, and they gave me some direction and instruction, and I was, you know, self-motivated enough to, you know, one, prove that person wrong that told me I would never, you know, walk again, and, right, you know, I'd have a miserable life, you know, but two, like, I, you know, I had this, you know, human ability to overcome. You know, I always thought that something within myself that, you know, we as human beings have this infinite worthiness and value, and it's just waiting to be discovered, you know, through the trials and tribulations that we go through.
Why don't we, you know, Cameron, that is a point that I'm a teacher by day, and I, you know, it's a point that's hard to make sometimes. And you keep on trying to reach out to kids that way. We don't talk enough about our human value. We're too busy talking about, you know, talking over each other and arguing points of, you know, pride or points of, you know, political points or whatever. But really that idea of the worth of each life, you know, and how that life can really affect others. Isn't that, there's got to be a way to break through that particular stone and show people that's really what this is about.
Yeah, I agree, you know, because, you know, we all have, we're all busy, you know, in our own lives, in our own personal interests, in our own personal relations, you know, and, you know, and I think we can easily get, you know, distracted in our own, you know, different things, you know, and it's kind of separates us. But, you know, I think because we are independent sovereign beings, but we're also at the same time, we're all connected. And I believe that when we go through, something that is, because when I got hit by a train, yeah, it was, I think, you know, to this day, there is a lot. We all fight our own battles. We have our own issues. And for me, I remember, like, looking back on that, and it was an identity crisis, you know? And when you go through a monumental change of, you know, of losing three limbs. So we can kind of extrapolate that and say, okay, well, what if somebody, you know, has cancer, or what if somebody, loses their spouse, or you know, Myra, you know, just that we can add, you know, to the list at infinitum. You know, we have no, but when you go through something that's you know, an identity crisis, I think then we can take that experience of adversity and of you know, it because it is something that is it causes you know, a lot of you know, we were just talking about having you know, it just slipped through my fingers. You know what I mean?
No, that happens.
But yeah,
well, I think what you're on too is, if you want to get, because you talked about metamorphosis a little bit, and also, yeah. And I know that you've also read Joseph Campbell, but this is, you're also you're on this hero's journey, really,
right?
And you've.
It's something we've always connected on.
Right. But that's very true. If you look at your life, even more than mine, you've actually have seen the worst of things, and you either give up and die or whatever, or you excel and do great things. And you're that type of person. I know a lot of that has to be just attitude, but I also know it's also very important. Somebody, and this is leading to this question, when you talked about your support system, there had to have been somebody when you're going through your dark times who just broke you out of that. And I'm just kind of curious if you know who that was, or are you saying it's several people, or was there one individual in general who just touched you or just got you in that, you're right, I'm going to do this kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, okay, so we're talking about, I have to say, like, this identity crisis and also the trauma, right? The trauma, right? And, you know, this adversity that we all go through, you know, mm-hmm. we all have our own set of challenges, whatever they are, you know, as we continue to live life. And for me, when I went through initially, you know, being run over by a train, and then learning how to adapt and overcome and perseverance, you know, and just, you know, be and this kind of resiliency that we find throughout our facing these types of adversities. It is quite transformative. And the person that, you know, if I can yeah, I don't know if I've ever really explained it like this before, but it is quite fascinating, because I am a twin. I have an identical twin brother. And right. So I imagine and I feel in the depths of my you know, every cell and fiber of my being, that I always looked at my twin brother Jesse and was always had that human connection and that bond, that's amazing, incredible brotherhood of a twin that I'm so grateful for. And I think that underneath the surface, you know, on a spiritual and human level, that always, you know, it was like a mirror image of me. And it was a kind of a mirror image of like the perfection, right? Of like, we all are created in God's image. And I think maybe I always, that was something that always motivated me, you know, because I had, you know, this person, this individual and my best friend that kept me motivated. And it was, I think, a big part of you know, my empowerment. You know, and I know there's probably, I'll let you guys interject, because you know, I think I said a lot so far already.
No, you're doing great. So I mean, and I know, you know, there's something always, I think, about twins, where there's always, I think, even more than a regular brother and sister, I think twins just have this, bond that's deeper.
There's no question. My wife is a twin. And,
oh, that's
and,
right. I forgot.
I married a twin. And so, yeah.
The Thompson twins.
Yeah, there's definitely some very serious, you know, when you marry a twin, you have to kind of take into account what you're doing because it's not a normal thing. it's very different. So, you know, Cameron. So you work at a camp in Maine. Can you talk about this camp a little bit? I forget the name of it.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what it is. It's called Camp No Limits.
Okay.
Camp. Yeah. And so Camp No Limits is awesome. It's a camp for kids with limb loss. It's also family oriented. So when you think about like a summer camp, you know, envision like parents dropping their kids off for the week or whatever. Right. But this is different because it has all these incredible, you know, recreational activities, camping activities. But it also involves, you know, support groups and, you know, with the family members, the parents, you know, and with the campers and, And it's so much fun, and it's all about education. It's also about empowerment and support. So, you know, with those key, I think, initiatives, they have done such an incredible job with helping provide a space for building confidence for kids. And these young campers that have, you know, limb loss and limb difference. And I'm so happy that I'm part of something bigger than myself, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a community, right?
Absolutely. Now, is this all ages, by the way? Or is there an age limit?
Yeah, it usually ranges from probably, you know, I'd say like there's been some real young like babies there where even the parents get support. But, you know, maybe going from like 3, 4, all the way up to teenagers.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it's really amazing. Each camp, they're around the country. They're nationwide. There's about, I think, over 10 now. And I have attended all of them. And each location kind of has their own like unique, activities. Like maybe in Texas, they'll have like horseback riding, you know, and then they actually have a one winter camp where they do skiing. So there's like, you know, each camp has its, you know, featured activities. So they're all very, and I'm stoked to be a adult amputee counselor and mentor to these young kids, but. You know, I started out as a camper. I think I was, you know, a long, long time ago now. I was like 17. So, you know, I've been with camp for a long time and, you know, and quickly became, you know, sort of like a staff member, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's because you've always had this great attitude and you always have a can-do positive attitude. People just kind of, they're drawn to you, I think, automatically. So now you've also done a lot of work, I believe, for what, Warriors in Transition, that program.
Yeah. Right? So I'm really glad you brought that up because I know you and your wife are veterans and I love veterans. And the more and more time goes on, I have, you know, so much compassion for, you know, for veterans and, you know, people, service members. And so going back, the interesting thing is like looking at, since my injuries that I sustained, of course, you know, that was, and it kind of hits home with the whole 9/11, tragedies because here I was, I lost my limbs, three limbs. And then going through my recovery process, over time, you know, with the teamwork, right. You know, I don't want to overlook that. I mean, it was a tremendous feat, you know, but thankfully I had a great, prosthetic company, Hanger Clinic, that had the experts. So this is kind of the protocol here, right?
Right.
And it was the team of prosthetic, you know, experts, you know, the technology, so the components and everything, and how that is, you know, the alignment, the setup, that, you know, the right, all the right parts and components,
right, right.
You know, at different stages of the rehabilitation, as well as the peer mentorship, you know, having somebody there. I think that's a really important factor.
I think that's huge. Having.
And then as well, you got to have motivation, you know, on an individual level. So with all those things working in my favor, I became very, you know, I became independent and utilizing prosthetics proficiently in my life, and having functionality and just, you know, as we call them, like everyday living activities.
Right.
Excuse me. So, you know, so going through that, and I kind of had this this great like trajectory where I was doing pretty well, and 100% full-time on prosthetics. I didn't use a wheelchair. And then my team, the experts, you know, as, you know, things started progressing with, you know, the wars in the Middle East with Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, people were getting, soldiers, Marines, you know, were getting injured. People
right.
were getting
right.
blown up
quite a bit,
and
quite a bit.
Losing limbs. And thankfully with the medical technology today, people were surviving, but they were coming back. And, we had communications with, you know, these, you know, people that were contacting my team, and we had the opportunity and the privilege to go out and visit, you know, Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas. But first, we went out to Walter Reed out in Maryland, in Bethesda, Maryland.
Bethesda, Maryland, yeah.
Yeah. And so we worked a lot with, you know, injured service members, combat veterans who were, you know, multiple limb amputees. And I had the honor to, you know, just kind of show what's possible and, you know, do some demonstrations with my prosthetics and where I was at, you know,
and just
provide hope, you know, provide some hope. And it was really amazing. And that was kind of my first, you know, and I, over the years, I've, you know, done several events where there's been, you know, various number of you know, combat vets who are amputees, that I've, interacted with and worked with. So it's right. It's been an honor for sure.
And you, do you still keep in touch with any of the, veterans that you helped?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know, how they say, like, you know, it doesn't really make an impact until like somebody that you know personally, you know, like say in a wartime, either dies or gets hurt.
Right.
And one of my friends that I went to high school with and I used to, you know, surf with and party with, he joined up as a Marine and he got blown up and lost his leg, almost lost both his legs. Actually, one of them was, you know, he had to get, you know, you know, fixed up the other one. So, yeah, I mean, I still stay in contact and I have close friends that have gotten hurt and lost limbs and, that I've known for a long time.
Well, so you've taken, what you've really done is kind of what you talked about earlier. You have taken what you have lost and turned it, if you'll forgive the sort of the crudeness of it, into a bit of a gain, just by kind of by reaching out and using a support system and, you know, doing all the things that I think we know to do, but we obviously people aren't always able to do it for, you know, any number of reasons, just because we're sort of lost in our own brains at times. But you've also, for yourself, you've kind of reached out. You're doing some acting now, right? You've done a couple of shows. That's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think just I have had some opportunities to be in some media as well as film. And I think the media was the link, you know, or the segue into film or TV shows.
Right.
Because I had done, as I said, I'm very active. So when I, as things progressed and I evolved in my rehabilitation, I had, you know, other opportunities to, you know, other extracurricular activity type things that involved, you know, more advanced prosthetic technology. I'd gotten, you know, to learn to run, and that was probably the hardest thing I ever learned. I mean, wow. I had a big, you know, it was really big. I just love running and passion, very passionate about running. And you know, and so over the years, I've participated in various events, you know, and competed, you know, at these athletic events, you know, running, 100, 200, 400, meter events. And, you know, I've competed it.
And you've won some medals, right? You've won some medals. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the furthest I went in my athleticism was the track and field, the U.S. Paralympic trials, the track and field.
Wow.
And, you know, I didn't exceed my expectations, but, you know, at the same time, like, without getting too much into technicalities, like, I didn't get last place, but I was also running against people who have, you know, one leg and two arms up on me.
Right. So, yeah.
You know, and, you know, but so I share this because I really got involved in a lot of sports, with running and swimming. One of the events is awesome. It's a triathlon. And so I love to run, but I also love the ocean. I got back into swimming and surfing. And one of the events that I do every year is the Challenge Athletes Foundation. And they do a triathlon down in San Diego. And then we have a hangar clinic team of athletes. And it's a relay. So I do the swimming, and then there's the bike and the run. And so, and my introduction into that, because it's a prominent organization down in Southern California, I believe at that point, I had just done like an article in the New York Times, and I had done, you know, some other media, you know, and so one of the probably production companies, I can't remember which one it was, but they, you know, how they have their
the PR people who reach out to you
casting agents and whatnot.
Thank you very much, Keith. Yeah. Exactly. So the casting, I'm sure their casting agency reached out to Challenge Athletes Foundation, said, hey, you know, we know you work a lot with, you know, people with disabilities and people, you know, in the limb loss community. And so, you know, my name had gotten suggested, and that was kind of my entry into the movie industry, if you will.
What was your first role? First thing you did?
Yeah. So the first thing I did was an HBO series called Carnival.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
It was pretty badass, man. I loved it.
That was actually a pretty cool show. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. You know,
is it something you love? Do you love acting, or is it just something to kind of do for sort of a side thing? Fine.
You know, I love it. But it's something that is fun to me. It was a lot of fun, and there's been some things that have fallen through and some things that have worked out, and they were great. You know, great. I enjoyed the experience thoroughly. But it's not something I personally am pursuing. You know, I have my own thoughts on that, but yeah, it's not like I have an agent and I'm really trying to become a
big actor. You know, that's not what you're working on. Yeah, understood. Yeah. Well, this is kind of a treat, man. Thank you for talking to us. This is you've accomplished some extraordinary things, and it all starts with your desire to serve. You've experienced something traumatic and turned that into a willingness to serve other people, and I think that might be the secret to life.
But right now he is going, if I'm not correct, you're working on your degree, right?
So
he's at Cal Poly?
Yep. And that's correct.
What are you trying to, what's your degree? What are you studying?
So I'm majoring in sociology with a concentration in social work at this point. So, and I'm pretty, you know, deep into it. I have a couple more quarters to go, and I'll get that.
You know, young Mr. Cox there and I, when we started college together back in the Reagan administration, you know, we were sociology majors.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was the old days. Keith and I have the distinction of we'd taken classes together at the local community college, Pierce College, down in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles. And Keith, do you remember the name of the class that we took? It was a psychology. Was it abnormal psychology, the one we took, and we said, all right, we're going to take this test tonight, and if we don't do well on this test, we got to drop the class.
I thought it was Psych 101. I can't remember.
Was it Psych 101? I can't believe that.
I can't remember. It was one of those, and, you know, yeah.
We just dropped the ball. Man.
Thought we were studying right, and we just...
We blew that to pieces.
And yet terrible. Sociology, man, we... just flew, you know, and
nailed that
instructor. I'm gonna, you know, I still think that one, the
Larry Horn, Dr. Yeah, Larry Horn,
fantastic, a great instructor, and motivated you. And you know, and our psychologist teacher was boring.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what you had
exactly. And so we kind of, yeah, botched.
Well,
that
Cameron, one. It's been great to have you. Thank you for talking to us. So, Keith, you got any questions to wrap him up here? Or?
Do I have any? No, he's.
You probably have 100 more questions. Well, but yes.
there could be. There's so much. Cameron is such a complex guy. And he has done so much stuff. We could take hours on that because this guy has done so much. His fun acting career. He, you know, I loved it. I mean, of course, the fact that he's still an athlete and he's still. Are you competing anymore, by the way, or not? Are you just kind of doing your own thing?
So when people ask me about. You know, we brought a lot of topics up here and, you know, that are personal and also very meaningful to me.
Yeah.
But at this point in time with sports, including like whether it's acting or public speaking, which are all things that I've done. Mm-hmm. I just honestly, the priority right now is like everything else. Is very infrequent, unfortunately.
Right. Sure.
Because priority is school and in my career, I have have a great job.
Yeah, you're rocking that, right?
Yeah, is a global ambassador, I work with the ambassador program for Hanger Clinic, and it's really amazing. You know, at this point in time, like with school and with work, there's a big shift because, I mean, it's all like. Working remotely and going to school virtually, and so it's really thrown a wrench in how it works. But you know, but we're evolving and adapting, and it's kind of like we're always, you know, day to day we're learning and changing and growing. And I think just like on a final note, you know, we grow at the rate that we face our challenges and how we respond, you know, like I said earlier, how we react to those things that determines the outcome, you know, and I think, you know, if you can do a decent job, can turn out to be positive and you can, you know, be a good human being, you know, and be good to others. Be kind, and I think you know, you're doing a pretty a pretty good job here on this planet right now.
It's all you can do. I think that's the key to it.
Well said, Cameron. And that's why it's been such a pleasure and an honor to know you. You're a really good guy and very inspirational in so many ways. And just keep on rocking, man. It's so good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I had no idea what to expect. Like I didn't know the time frame. Or
that's how we like it, and we're gonna keep it that way.
You know what I mean? Like, did we go over? Like, I have no clue. I'm just like, all right.
We were trying to scare Cameron and and tell him that we're just gonna get in all this weird personal stuff, and he's like, I'm like, just kidding, man. We're not. But man, it was so much fun. And again, thank you for coming on, Mr. Cameron. Clap, everybody. And thanks to everybody who is listening at Considering Some Things. You could catch us on all kinds of cool podcasts like Amazon and
Stitcher and iTunes and TuneIn, all the rest of them.
Yeah, we're all over the place. So thank you. And this was another episode, the 50th.
The 50th episode of Considering Some Things, where we actually interviewed someone of substance.
That's right.
Who had something to say, which is always a good thing. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Have a great night.
You all take care.